Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Sunday evening and it's time for the Sunday show. And we are fortunate enough to have guests with us who are one of our agile folks. Ron Feynman, who is a presidential historian and author. He's also the Progressive Professor. You can find his blog online and take a look at it. One thing you can be sure of, if we're having a conversation with Ron, then we're going to have some facts in the mix. Something you cannot really be sure of here, there, and other places lately.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne, for inviting me again. It's the 13th time I've been on the show.
There you go. There you go.
Always our pleasure, Professor. That's right. Always our pleasure, Professor.
And Wayne Johnson, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, is also online. And myself, Gwendolyn Berry, and I sponsor the show. And you can find my sponsorship over at daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. So anyways, gentlemen, we have had a hell of a week in May. I think one of the things that we might address first and foremost is the fact that now people are taking the long guns out, and they're going after these people in Congress. And they have yet to try and take a hit at anything else. But now we have Congress members in the hospital. Quite ironically, a Congress member who championed gun control and gun laws, who helped to or walked the bills that went toward defeating marriage equality for the gay, lesbian, transgender, bi, queer community off the books, and it was a lesbian, black lesbian cop, capital
right.
cop, and it, actually two African-American capital cops that came to his defense, put their lives on the line. I mean, can we say irony any more clearly than that? But what it really is the positive moment in all of this, that this is America, and those two Capitol cops put their lives on the line to rescue someone. Of course, it was their job, but, you know, how many of us have seen cops just back the hell off?
You're correct. And I must say that Scalise also voted against the Violence Against Women Act in 2013 that Joe Biden promoted. And he also has been associated in the past with David Duke of the Ku Klux Klan. So I would hope that now that he's recovering, thank goodness, that he will maybe open up his mind and maybe start to reform his own views. It would be nice to imagine that in any case.
Well,
I think that's very well. Go ahead, Gwen.
Well, I think if there was any kind of come to Jesus moment, coming to the door of death and having your guts on the ground would be it. However, this is a strange, strange world right now. It's upside down world. Ron, I would ask you, when was the last time that congressional members were pot shot at that?
Well, Gabby Giffords in 2011, and at that point, nothing was done by Congress about gun issues, and this is, of course, before Sandy Hook, and I wonder if now there'll be a different attitude because one of their own, a conservative Republican and a Southern Klan connection background, I wonder if they'll change their view. I'm not hopeful, but it would be a good time to, to reflect on that.
Well, you have... I was going to say, Asa Carter, who was the speechwriter for George Wallace. George Wallace, who was shot while campaigning for presidency and winning some of the primaries.
My book, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, the one who was the Dirty Tricks congressman, basically out of South Carolina, that started the Dirty Tricks. In summation, when they were coming to their end of days, they all had a conscious reformation of actually then calling people and asking for forgiveness for those that they had committed these atrocities to, or had babbed, you know, worms and ripped up the hatred, holding these others up as the icon of what to hate.
Yes, George Wallace, in fact, asked for forgiveness from all the civil rights leaders in the 80s, and he reformed a lot from what he had been before, which was nice to see. But, of course, it was after he was paralyzed in a wheelchair that he came around.
Well, and there's one thing here that we're not mentioning that I think comes into the purview of all of this would be the Brady Bill and what happened to Brady when he was
absolutely.
You're right, but President Bush did not ask for a renewal of that bill in 2003, I guess, and so it disappeared. And I think we need protection. And after Sandy Hook, particularly 5 years ago, it's shocking that we're even having an interview in the next hour on NBC with a guy who believes that it didn't happen, Alex Jones. That's upsetting.
That's right, Professor. InfoWars man is on with Making Kelly. What the hell is NBC thinking? Really?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, especially on Father's Day of all times.
If you hold this guy up and let him talk, then everybody will see how freaking stupid and ignorant he is. And it's like they tried to confiscate all of Hitler's and the Nazi Germany hate speeches here in this country. And basically, the man who was in charge of, he was a Hollywood director, and he went and got the films from the archive saying, I need these. And there's like a counter anti-propaganda that was coming out of Germany saying, look, listen to what these people are saying. And people in this country sat up and said, no, that's not right. That is idiotic. You got a whole country moving like that? Well, maybe I'll take the inverse on this. Let the man speak. Let everybody who should be normal and critical thinking see how stupid this guy is and how much of this far right is being driven by him, that maybe they will sit up and have a coming to Jesus moment.
But it's disturbing that Donald Trump has backed Alex Jones and endorsed him. It's not a good thing for a president to do that.
Again, Trump's stupid. I mean, you know, and that's the demographics that he has whipped up. It's like what Jack Kemp said. There were good demographics to whip up at election time. You know, when it's time to whip up, and I'm putting this in air quotes, whip up the nut jobs. This is the teabaggers. This is the John Birch Society. These are the Klansmen. These are the neo-Nazis. They were courting. Go ahead, Glenn.
But that's exactly what they got for president. That's
exactly.
What they whipped
right,
up.
Right, right.
And right now, it disturbs me really greatly that, I mean, first of all, John McCain, who represented some, you know, clarity there, has now come off as senile. I really do think he has problems with cognizance. He does have cognizant trouble. And, you know, the rest of these guys are out for party and not for country, and it's been said in commentary over and over again, which is the crucial moment here, is that basically we've been attacked by a foreign adversary that is undermining our country, and they're doing the job right this minute in the media wars that are going on. The who hit who, and the Republicans are backing it up right down the road. There's only one or two standing outside of that and saying country over party. And how can this be? How can this be?
Gwen,
the only
Ted Koppel, go ahead, Gwen. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
The only thing that's really going to get them, and, you know, both of you might come back on this one, is in the next elections, we don't focus so much on this atrocity, but we focus on the obvious atrocities, like a health bill that can't be looked at before it's voted on.
Again, right.
Yeah,
This is just absolute. I mean, we're in trouble. Big trouble.
I think Ted Koppel summed it up well when he was on Sean Hannity's show and said, no, you are bad for this country. He says, you have found a certain demographics and you're very good at this. Basically, you know, again, whipping off the nut jobs, and I'm just interjecting that quote. But basically, Ted Koppel says that you have attracted people who are determined that ideology is more important than facts. And this is what we've seen. This ideology, I'm a conservative, and everything else be damned. Hell, let's get a foreign country to spy, to circumvent our president. We're debating it. I'm going to have to be very careful here. Our president, and it looks like the evidence is there, that went out and proactively solicited seditious acts against our own democratic election and is proud of that fact. And many of the Republican leaders to push their agenda are also overlooking criminal aspects and even making excuses for him.
You're right, and Dan Rather's also written about that as well. These are two people that left their original positions at CBS and ABC, but they're still speaking up in their older age, and I'm proud of both Dan Rather and Ted Koppel.
Yesterday night, MSNBC ran a documentary that was made probably a couple years ago or a year ago.
13.
The movie, the book, the story behind all the president's men. And one thing that was basically overridden in the whole thing that I found the clearest message as far as dealing with, you know, every damn one of them in Washington, as far as I'm concerned, but about this president is to follow the money. Follow the money.
Absolutely.
That he said it, he was clearly right about it. It's what tipped the whole apple cart over in the end. The parallels between obstruction of justice, the firing of chiefs, all of this, is we've learned this lesson once before. And we really need to be, I mean, you and I and Ron and we all saw what kind of a huckster, fraud, and just thoroughly deplorable human Trump is and was through the whole campaign. And I mean, to watch somebody like little Marco, set him up and carry water for him, it's just, you can tell these guys are all about their own pocketbooks and they're carrying water for this guy. It's party over country. And that's basically what it is. There's just, that's period. That's it. That's what Republicans represent.
Yeah, the same thing applies to Ted Cruz after all the things that Trump said against his wife and his father, that his father was involved in the Kennedy assassination. They went to the White House for dinner, and he was so nice to them after having insulted Mrs. Cruz and insulted Cruz's father. And I don't know how anybody could do that. I could not imagine myself after all that Trump did to Cruz that he would do that.
It's all about power. It's not about the constituency. It's not about the country. It's all about power. And, so many years ago, John Lennon came over our radios and said, you know, instant karma is going to get you. Well, it is getting them. And we have to remember that there are many things that are actually happening in the satellites around them right now that are bringing them down. Least of all, getting shot by a guy who was so, you know, disturbed about the whole thing that he went, you know, to take a gun up and start shooting. You know, it's not being said so very often on the news, but the question he asked someone as he was going over there was, you know, are they Republicans or are they Democrats? And when they told him who was on the field, that's when he went and got his gun. You know, that's pretty damn awful.
The hens coming home to roost. That's what comes to my mind. I'm not saying Jay is good, he's got shot, you know, they deserved it. I'm not saying anything like that because violence against violence. Gifford, you know, that was right, and this one here was not right. You vote him out, but I can also, it's like there's a point where you get fed up. And
I must also say, however, that the health care bill, they want to cut down on mental illness coverage, and if anything, we need to spend a lot more on that, not cut it down, because it's a real problem in this country. Not if it's stress-related, but there's a lot of mental health problems.
Yeah. Reagan was the one that cut out mental health aspects. We had a mental hospital located in Cambridge, Maryland, and they closed the doors because he said basically took all those that had mental health problems and threw them out in the street. Then all of a sudden there was a big surge in street people in D.C.
That's true. You're right.
And all the others, you know, and of course the conservatives stood by and cheered like, see, yeah, we're not wasting that government money on those people, right? Then they wanted to bash them for being street people. You know, why don't they go out and get a job? They're mentally ill. They can't get a job.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I was in Los Angeles for a week, and I went to the Nixon Presidential Museum and the Reagan one. And the Nixon Museum has been renovated to really reflect a balanced view of Nixon, the good and the bad. However, the Reagan Museum is like almost like a worshiping of Ronald Reagan, and I guess it was Nancy's doing, because there's no mention of Jane Wyman, his first wife, or any of his four kids by name, even the two with
right.
And I think that's shocking, because why wouldn't you, you know, have more about your children, all of them, including Michael for the first marriage, who was a conservative talk show host. So I wonder how the three surviving children, Ron and Patty and Michael, feel about the fact, if they're aware of it, that they're not really mentioned at all, and Jane Wyman is not mentioned, even in a sentence, in the Reagan Museum.
Right.
So I think there needs to be work done to make that a more balanced presentation like the Nixon Museum is.
Well,
that's why I refer to him as Saint Ronnie. They have religiously canonized him.
Well, you're correct.
You know, Ron, the truth is that you'll catch on MSNBC and Democracy Now! And a few other shows, Ron Reagan, who is an unabashed liberal. Who,
Patty Davis, too. Yes, his sister.
Well, tell you that, you know, his mother was devoid of respect for the country by not removing Ronnie from office for the last year that he was there, because, you know, he gradually in his last term lost most of his marbles.
Yeah, but interestingly, Michael, from the first marriage, who was adopted, not born to Jane Wyman, still defends his father and says he did not have Alzheimer's. He fights with his half brother, Ron Jr., about that still. There's a lot of anger between them. They don't talk much, I've heard, because of that.
Well, how can that be when Nancy, affirmed it?
Thank you, Gwen. I mean, come on, talk about
it. No, it's alternative truth, as Kellyanne Conway talks about it.
Go ahead, continue, Gwen, please.
I never saw such it's like it's the lion that goes on to preserve something for whatever reason. I mean, it's like the Kodak Museum in Rochester. I mean, George Eastman was not a well-liked man at all. He was a kind of a despicable character, and he had a big mother complex too. The word Kodak comes from his mother, you know, KK, Catherine. And
I did not know that.
I'm a Kodak kid, guys.
Yeah, I must say, when you say mother, it makes me think of Mike Pence calls his wife mother. I can't get over that.
Yeah, now there's a bent there. But the thing is, George Eastman couldn't even get people to work with him to try and put the company together. And when he finally got the money out of New York to invest, I know this for a fact because it was my great-great-grandfather who, for, you know, preferred in common stock, gave him the land in Rochester to build Kodak Park. And the thing is, that, I mean, there is like the Genesee Valley Hunt Club. Nobody would let him in unless, you know, one of the guys who did business with him said, you got to let him in. He's a notary in the community. He's employing lots of people. We got to keep him happy. There was a famous day. He took his own life. And that day on Main Street in Rochester, a rag cart pulled by a donkey. The donkey dropped dead in the heat. And somebody, you know, it took a long time to remove animals from that condition in those days, right? Well, George took his life, left a note that said, my work is done, why wait? And somebody put a sign on that jackass that said the same thing on Main Street in Rochester. Now, there's photographic evidence of it. But nobody knows what it's for because they pushed it aside, like they pushed aside the truth about George Eastman. His goodness was that he, you know, lambasted a few Frenchmen and put together what has become, if it weren't for Kodak people, he did something that changed the world. He put cameras in the hands of everybody.
The Brownie Kodak camera, the Brownie.
Get your Kodak. And it captured some of the most famous moments in history because he did that. On the other hand, the man was despicable. And so, you know, you just never know what a person is doing. What is Donald Trump doing to America right now? That down the road, I'm going to put it this way to Ron especially, will positively do something for this country that will change our dynamic.
Well, I do think that Trump is endangering the whole social safety net we've had since FDR and the New Deal and Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society, and I really am very disturbed about that because I think that it helped to create the middle class, and now the middle class is disappearing very rapidly, and it's getting worse. And the party that he comes from, who doesn't really like him but backs him, is working in that direction to make the rich richer and the poor poorer and knock the middle class down. And that is a horrible legacy to do for the country.
Well, I agree with that, Ron. Plus, two, this administration – oh, go ahead, Gwen. I'm sorry.
Well, I would put it to you, though, there's a positive side to this. And I'll just name one, Ron, and I'm trying to get your mind to go in that direction prognostically because you have so much of history in your mind. It should be, you know, to go along this. He was inaugurated one day, and the next day, over a million women stood in the same space and said bullshit.
Yes.
You know.
Well, right. That's.
What is the positive? We're always berating what is happening in the world, and everybody's upset. Well, I'm saying, like the example of George Eastman putting the Kodak in the hands of so many people and changing the course of our history. I mean. Anybody with an internet or an iPhone or a phone or anything like that right now can travel the world. They can travel the world. How many little videos do you see of Sri Lanka and the beautiful stuff there or the terrible stuff? This changed our world, our dynamic, and I'm thinking, out of all that horrible time that the city of Rochester went through with the bad politics and the greed of certain guys like that, in the end, Kodak ended up being one of the most altruistic and beneficial companies for that city. I mean, they put kids through college and they gave medical coverage beyond what people ever thought of. I mean, good people walked into that company to work because of what was going on. And so I'm saying this that's happening, this atrocity that is happening to us right now with this piece of shit that got into the White House, excuse me, gentlemen, there's got to be a projective positive that can happen here. Something that will galvanize and Ron, to put you on that path, I'm saying, you know, the guy got inaugurated, and as you have said several times on this show, you know, with this little short avenue of cheerleaders there.
yeah.
The next day, over 1 million women and men, but mostly women, for the Women's March, showed up in the same space and said, as I said, bullshit.
A lot more than came for his inauguration, by the way. Much more.
Yeah, yes.
Besides women, I do think the growing number of people of Latino background and Asian American background, plus the African American community, you know, the fact is the white Anglos think that they're going to be in control forever. They're trying to suppress voting. Apparently it happened in Wisconsin. I just read 200,000 people were taken off the voting rolls in Wisconsin, and he won Wisconsin by 22,000 votes. So if they had not had that done by Scott Walker, it might have been a different result there, and in also Pennsylvania and Michigan, it might have been totally different. But I do think in the long run, over the next generation, I think that I think the movement toward progressive change is evident. It will happen. It's just we have to wait it out.
Well, and I
hope that it works in Georgia on Tuesday with John Ossoff coming up against Karen Handel.
Okay, right there. Who's to say that there won't be Russian interference in that? Who's to say at this moment what we got going on here, that there won't be an interference there? I'm just bringing it up. But
it could come up in 18 and 20. We might have every election affected by the Russians now unless we figure out a way to crack down and prevent it. You're right.
And you haven't got anybody except Democrats running around Washington going, hey, we got a crisis going on here. What's going on with Intel? What are we doing? But, you know, look who's at the helm of this ship. We are fucking aground out there, boys. We are aground.
And you realize Republicans benefited from 2000 with the Supreme Court intervening, whereby the Republican nominee, won the state of Florida, where it's arguable that he really didn't, and that Gore should have won. So the Republicans keep on winning when there are these close contests, and they're not obviously anxious to change the way things are going because they're benefiting from it.
Right, they're the controlling party, and they're not going to change it because they are able to push their such repressive aggression program. And Gwen, to give you an example, to complement what you've just said there, they know in France that the Russians were hacking into their political system.
Yes, thank
and
you.
The thing is because the French were able to look at the United States and say, look what the Russians did in the United States. They're doing the exact same damn thing here of hacking into who they want to lose and making false emails and stuff, only the French were... Go ahead.
The actual backstory on that one is that the French intelligence are on top of it, just as the German intelligence are trying to get on top of it the best they can. Where the hell? I've got to ask. Where the hell?
Go for it. Absolutely.
did the Russians get such obviously more proficient hackers and technicians and programmers than we did? Money.
I don't know if they're any better or not. They're just more prolific at it.
Oh my God, how can you not say they aren't? How can you not say they are? The proof is in the pudding. We know now how many 39 states were affected.
39 states were hacked in their the voting equipment. That's right. Republicans did not win. It was stolen.
No, they didn't. They stole it, and Putin helped them. And basically, it just burns my ass sometimes to listen to certain people say, you know, Putin, there's nothing wrong with Putin. It's like, oh, my fucking God. Are you kidding? Ooh, I did go a little far there. I couldn't believe.
We're forgiven.
I cannot believe that they would actually ascend to that kind of, you know, because it's socialism or communism or whatever they call it, all state run. It's like, you know, oh, Cuba's wonderful because they pay for education, they pay for medical costs, the community is taken care of, the community is repressed. If they don't go along to get along over there, they get slammed in some of the worst environments of jailing that there are. You have no uniqueness or individuality over there, okay? All of the mouths that go so loud for, you know, all of the beauty of socialism, communism, whatever you're going to call it. I don't think idiocracy, ism, ology, none of them are working for us, gentlemen. None of them are working. And to save what we have as a republic, what's going to be the outcome? What is going to be the positive outcome? What lesson is going to finally be learned here that this kind of behavior is no good? Because we're at the edge. It's not just us. It's the whole world. We're at the edge.
It is the whole world.
It is. And the Germans are dealing with it now, too. You know, it's not just that they're monkeying with the voting systems. They're planting all of this bullshit and using people like Assange to plant bullshit. You know, to give them 1,000 emails that are correct and throw a couple in there that say things that they want heard, you know? And one good thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks is that Chelsea Manning is out of jail. She's pardoned. She's out. Another thing that would be good is to have someone in the White House who recognized the Haldeman-esque-ness of Edward Snowden. You know, I think these people are important. Julian Assange, on the other hand, is he's basically out for himself. He's what do you call those people that grab every opportunity for their own self, you know?
Opportunist.
An opportunist.
That's a good word, opportunist, yeah.
He's just an opportunist. I don't think he has, and the people who've worked with him come very close to, they don't come close to it. They say he's an opportunist. He'll step on you. He'll cast you aside, you know. But all of those people are wrong. And then you get 2 weeks ago, you get the gosh darn Intercept, Greenwald affiliate that says, you know, oh, well, yeah, there was, you know, mechanizations from Russian, you know, intel on the election, and they begin to start spewing that when all along they've said there's no evidence, it's bullshit, it's false flags, it's yada yada yada. That's what's going on in Germany right now, and in France, and in Britain right now. Britain's got its own problems with, you know, there's a crisis over there.
Absolutely.
That apartment house that burned, the government is refusing to say how many bodies are in there, and people are wandering around the streets of that neighborhood looking for over 500 people.
Oh, my.
It's horrible, beyond belief, yes.
And Theresa May, who should be addressing this and the concerns of her constituency, of her people, is avoiding the issue. And I think Labour is going to go and bulldoze over the Tories, to tell you the truth.
Well, let's hope.
I got to say, Theresa May, certainly no Margaret Thatcher, and I'm not a Margaret Thatcher fan, but it gets worse and worse all the time with these people.
It does.
It is.
It's just getting worse and worse, and that's why I'm saying to Ron, because he's seen the timeline of history over and over again in his mind. He's constantly researching it, and so he's capable of prognosticating the positives as well as the negatives that will come out of all of this horror.
Well, I do think, as I've said, that we will see the growing influence of women and racial and ethnic minorities as time goes by. But a lot of it comes down to whether there's going to be voter suppression and Russian intervention, because if there is, it may not work out. But if you look at polls, the latest poll shows Trump has reached 60% unfavorable ratings, and this is after 148 days, and out of the 13 presidents from Franklin Roosevelt through Obama, nine of them never reached 60% disapproval. Four did. The four were Nixon, the two Bushes, and also Reagan, but they all indeed reached it very late in their time in office, not early.
Yeah,
well,
right.
That's just it's crazy. And if they do repress us, Ron, if they do, I give you Wednesday morning. You understand what I'm saying here? People are actually, people who are thumping on social media and everything, there are a few people out there who actually will pick up a gun or create a bomb. That's so wrong. I mean, it's just so wrong because the example here, most good, decent people can see. Here's a guy who basically said, let them have guns, and who said, nobody's worthy unless they're a God-fearing Christian with a white skin. And he shot, and it's a lesbian and a black cop, both of them black, but, you know, they go after and put their lives on the line to save it. So, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
It's just that example has to stand out. It really does.
It does. I've written about it on Facebook. I wanted to correct one thing I just said about the four presidents who had a 60% disapproval. Not Reagan. That's a mistake. The two Bushes, Nixon and Truman, reached the 60%, but all very late in their time in office, not as early as 148 days. So I wanted to correct that. Reagan never had a 60% disapproval rating.
Ron, do you see it going up any higher with disapproval with him? I mean, is there a possibility of that, or is it poor?
It's positive. It's like 35, 36. I think it's going to continue to go down because, really, after almost 5 months in office, other than Neil Gorsuch, what has he accomplished? Gorsuch, he accomplished because the filibuster was changed to allow 51 votes to be enough to confirm him, and it was because of Mike Pence casting the tie-breaking vote. But, I mean, seriously, it used to be he had to have 60 votes for a Supreme Court justice. So even that is a cheap victory because it was not done the usual way. It should have gone to Merrick Garland, who was a moderate.
Well, the thing is, talking about not going the usual way, is the sitting president is the one who appoints the Supreme Court justice, and that was President Obama. Mitch McConnell did took over a junta, bastardized the rules to make sure that a progressive or someone that did not think as radically reactionary is really a word I want to use, conservative as they do, and basically circumvented the whole damn process right there.
That was, in my
mind, a political criminal act.
We're getting a little bit of feedback in the chat room, and the sentence reads that Trump is a figurehead for the GOP. That's all. Well, I can't agree with that right now. He is providing leadership because the people are listening to him that support him, and he's a horrifying leader. Like I said, the ship of state is aground, and that's what's happened. So he's not a figurehead, he's not a masthead, he's behind the helm of this ship, and look what he's done to it.
And I must say, this past Sunday, when the cabinet got together and they acted like sycophants, all praising him as if he was God, I almost thought Kim Jong-un having a cabinet meeting, or Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, or Vladimir Putin.
That was a sickening demonstration on television.
This
is a great man. Saddam Hussein is a great man, and he's doing what is right for the country. That's the kind of crap we're hearing out of our own White House now. Harry Truman says, the buck stop here. It all starts and ends right there with Trump. There is plenty to support him, but this man is out to destroy any aspects of what is left of the aspects of the working middle class in this country.
Well, you know,
it's going to be like what I saw in South America, those who have and those who have not. That's the separation that they're trying to shove this country into. Third world status of a South American country.
I agree with you, Wayne.
Here's the other part of that, though. too. I mean, just this past weekend, that everybody's going, well, what the hell? He said it was such a crummy place to go, Camp David. It finally dawned on him. Somebody told him in the White House why they go to Camp David. I mean, how stupid can you be if you're an American who's watched politics? Camp David, they can't get to you. Nobody gets in there. No press, nothing, no coverage. If you want to get hidden, you go to Camp David. Am I right?
Yes, and by the way, once thought I had a nightmare, not literally but figuratively, oh, my God, he could change Camp David to Camp Donald.
That's right. That's
if he said, I want to name it after myself, because I look in the mirror and I think I'm great, it could be Camp Donald, not Camp David. And, of course, David is David Eisenhower, President Eisenhower's young grandson, who was about 5 years old when Eisenhower became president, and he named it after his son. Grandson David Eisenhower, who now has been married to Julie Nixon since 1968 and is an historian, but he could change it to Camp Donald if he wanted to.
Well, that will last as long as he does, too. I mean, let's face it here, guys. A lot of the stuff he's done will only last as long as he does. And that's...
I hope you're correct.
Well, of course I'm correct, because...
I will bow to that.
All he's done is throw out a bunch of executive orders. And
not upheld by the courts either.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't. But a lot, I mean, it's executive order that's dismantling the EPA. Not an act of...
Well, that's true, yeah. And that's the most horrible thing. I've written on Facebook that T.R., F.D.R., Kennedy, Johnson, and even Nixon, all in the afterlife, he better hope he doesn't find them in the afterlife, that he goes to the other afterlife, because they're going to punch him out.
Well, and
well,
what...
You like that, Wayne, huh?
Yes, I did.
About the Nixon documentary, they were talking about all the good things that Dick did. Well, he did, as a statesman, I agree with that. He was very good. He really was. He opened up China, and he did open up Russia. I really agree with that. He didn't do it.
They also signed into law the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, started affirmative action, started NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and all these things are now they're working to cut back or destroy.
The Whistleblower Act and the EPA, I know for a fact, he was blackmailed into it. It was quid pro quo. You either do it or you're out. You know, that basically happened. That was the Potomac two-step going down right there. Anything domestic, it was always a tussle with him. But
well, the Democrats control Congress, but he could have vetoed, I'm saying, and they would not have been able to override the veto. But there were deals behind the scenes, yes, but that's part of politics anyway.
Yes, it is, and people don't get that either, that it's always been quid pro quo or compromise. Now, with some people, it actually is, you know, above board or it's in integrity. And yet with Nixon, with the EPA, I know for sure, you know, it was, you know, he got pushed and he was angry about it. Also the Whistleblower Act, too. That was something that was like, listen, guys, do you know who Deep Throat was? Whistleblower Act. I mean, right?
Yes,
right. Exactly right.
You actually think that Nixon would go along with that if he didn't have his underwear hanging out in somebody's drawer? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, too, by the way.
Yeah, I must tell you guys that for years when I taught about Watergate and we didn't know who Deep Throat was until 2005, you know, I'd be teaching the early morning class and, you know, people are like, the students are half asleep, they're not quite awake, even though I'm working to keep awake. But when I said, when I bring up Nixon and Deep Throat, they all wake up. Where do they wake up? And not about who's Deep Throat, but something else is on their mind.
That was an incredible journey. And we learned so much at that time. I mean, there was nobody who wasn't listening to the... I can remember watching Sam Ervin and watching those hearings going on, thinking,
you know, what the hell? What? And of course, I was one of the kids at school. It's my freshman year. I got fined for sitting in, you know, on the last year of the Vietnam War. And it was just, you know, it was one of those times that, you know, things were out of the 60s into the 70s. There was, and what happened out of the 70s? Now, I'm sure Ron knows this. What happened out of all of that unrest and rioting was, I give you Wednesday morning, but I would say Japanese Red Army, the PFLP, the PLO, the Bader-Meinhof, the horrible, horrible thing that we woke up to in Munich. All of this came out of that. And
well, we had Kent State, of course, in 1970, a horrible event, May 4th, 1970.
Well, and the thing is the racial riots that were, that, as a matter of fact, to speak for my own, Cambridge, Maryland, there was a neighboring school that's on the peninsula there on Maryland. The peninsula separates Chesapeake Bay from the ocean. A little town called Cambridge, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And, what happened there was a racial riot that's with H.R.A.P. Brown and projected Agnew into a national view from that point. And what all started it was two black high school students from the neighboring Cambridge High School dared to kneel down and pray, and this would have been in the summer of 67, dared to kneel down and pray in the white-only lobby of the local movie theater. They were given 6 years in prison for that heinous act.
Despicable, absolutely despicable. And, you know, Agnew was the only vice president until Mike Pence to have hired a personal lawyer. That's something I'm wondering about. Why is Mike Pence doing that?
Because
they're all.
He's
go ahead, Gwen. I'm sorry.
Because he's implicated. He knows it. He knows he's implicated. And today, as we've been sitting around, you know, Iran has begun sending missiles into Syria, quote, against ISIS, which is new. They launched missiles into eastern Syria to target ISIS today.
Yeah.
Well, ISIS just attacked Iran, remember. Iran got attacked. You know, it's a split between Sunni and Shia.
Right, they
It is a religious civil war. You're absolutely right, Professor.
Going on since 732, you know. It still goes on. It's never going to end.
Yeah, 600 A.D. was when the battle that Muhammad's grandson, who the Sunnis wanted him to ascend via birthright up into taking place for Muhammad. And then there's the Shiites who wanted to elect their religious leader. That's what it was. An ascension from DNA family ties, or we elect a leader. That's
I got to point out, I'm not defending Iran, but in Iran, they have elections for president. In Saudi Arabia, they don't have any elections.
Yeah, they still have it. They still
although
have
they're both horrible, Iran actually has more elements of democracy, sort of like, not completely, but as elements of it. It's more advanced than Saudi Arabia, although they're both terrible.
Right. Well, also, too, Gwen, I want to add in here real quick, and then I'll let you have it back. They're now propagating the propaganda. I like the way I said that, propagating the propaganda, that Trump isn't under investigation for any obstruction or justice or anything like that. No, that's not happening at all. Whatever.
Really?
I don't believe you.
Really?
I kind of know what evidence they have.
Well, what do you think it is?
Well,
I'm not going to say on the radio. No, I'm not going to say on the radio.
You know, it's funny because one of my all-time favorite political commentators has predicted this week that, in fact, I think he put it out today, was that Trump would be in prison within 1 year. That's Keith Olbermann. Olbermann's been on the money about a couple of things in the past. I don't know how good he is with that, but he
in prison, I doubt. Being out of office, yes, but I really doubt he'd be in prison. Even Nixon did not go to prison, and the next president could pardon him if he was convicted.
Well,
absolutely.
President is going to be Mike Pence
at all. I don't.
Then
it'll
be Paul Ryan, which is not really any better. Actually, maybe worse in some ways.
No, but Paul Ryan might start thinking about his own career and say, "Well, you're going to have to go to jail, both of your asses."
Nah, I think they march in lockstep of pushing their agenda. This is Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan that, like I said, and Professor will know this, it takes the House to impeach, it takes the Senate to remove the president. None of those, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell is not going
to
let that happen.
And also his wife is Secretary of Transportation, so that's a conflict of interest there. Lane Chao is his wife, and the Secretary of Transportation, McConnell's wife.
Yes, so he would be recused by the rest of the Senate if there's any integrity in the Senate.
There's the key word. If there's any integrity with that Republican majority, they're all in lockstep to push the agenda to destroy the working middle class. That is my opinion.
You know,
I agree.
I got to tell you, it looks like, you know, from a very, very cynical point of view, one would say somebody just started pulled the pin on the grenade on Wednesday morning and said, let's get rid of the Republicans out of the House and the Senate. And I can't think there isn't one Republican with it screwed so tight, you know, up there that doesn't have a shiver in them about what they're doing. Guys like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and others who have obviously chosen party over country, which is basically saying they choose money. And
yeah, absolutely.
I wonder about it all. I had a hit. I knew something bad was coming Tuesday night, and then I saw that fire, but I knew it wasn't all. We have to struggle against our anger, gentlemen. We have to be constructive and positive with people, because that's what makes a difference. People pay attention when there's so much rhetoric and there's so much nastiness. The singularly kind person, the singularly good leader who steps forward in kindness but doesn't back down, yet steps forward in a positive aspect, that's the one people remember and people are swayed by. That's my opinion, but I think Ron...
I agree with you. I think you're right. The other scenario is, Gwen, is like the man on Wednesday morning. Well, of course, he was mentally ill, but let's just take even somebody who has health, a well-balanced mental health. When a man feels so frustrated, he sees it so rigged that his own personal destruction is rigged against him by those in power. Voltaire said, it's dangerous to be correct when the established authorities are wrong. And when the boiling point then at the time in the French Revolution was the people had enough and they pulled out and invented a machine called the guillotine. Now, you know, they rose up against what they had. Now, this isn't, you know, the Tea Party. It's not going to be the Tea Party aspect where the militias out in the Midwest here and stuff think that they're fighting for God and country in a distorted way. It's going to be the everyday man who sees his children being damaged, his wife being damaged from the political movement that's in this atmosphere we have right now. That's where the real danger is going to come.
Well, in the meantime, we're all but forgetting about what's going on in that powder keg that every leader has kept an eye on for the last, 80 years. And just a couple of hours ago, the U.S. Forces that are inside Syria shot down Syrian government fighter jet. After they bombed U.S.-backed fighters in northern Syria, it's really getting, you know, we have to keep our eye on the Middle East. We really do. It's the bedrock of patriarchy on the planet. Even though Washington gives it a run for its money, it's the bedrock of patriarchy. And I think that a tinder over there would give Trump an out for many, many moments But he's not that smart, is he, Ron?
No, he's not very smart at all, and his Twitter feed is destroying him because he says too much, and he doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. His lawyers are very disturbed with him, and he's ranting and raving in the White House, screaming at the TV sets, it's been said. And, you know, he's really mentally unbalanced. I think it's very scary.
What makes me laugh about that is the fact that I got chided a couple of times last week by my little sister, who came out and said, "You're not allowed to watch that anymore," because I called the news feed that had Trump on. I started screaming, "What a fucktard!"
It's hard to keep your emotions in check, especially with the social media coming out right now.
It's disturbing that with the Cupid, so it's a Cupid issue, that you can find fault with Cuba's government, but he makes a big deal out of the human rights violations there, but he hugs Saudi Arabia and is close to Putin, and there's no trouble with Turkey, Egypt, or the Philippines. And to me, it's inconsistent that he has no issue with human rights violations there, but he makes it with Cuba. And meanwhile, we have the Vietnam prime minister is invited to the White House.
Right.
After all the people were killed in Vietnam. So it's so contradictory.
And on top of that, think of what he's told Nikki Haley to tell the Human Rights Campaign in the UN to go stop it. I mean, it's just, what human rights? You know, I got money to make here, boys.
Exactly.
You know, he's not even smart enough to carve out a decent deal for even himself, you know?
And he's made about $600 million on Mar-a-Lago, I hear, this past year, because of who he is. And I'm talking about in 2016. So he gave that information out. But, you know, he's making money, which he's not supposed to do while he's president or while he's campaigning for president.
He's never paid attention to that. He never will. And where this is all going to lie at his feet. Pardon me, is with the money. And I think it'll be the money that was supplied to him in the last couple of years by Russian oligarchs for him to underpin his several deals in the global sphere, and which is still going on. You can say that young Eric or Donald is doing the business, or even worse, his daughter. And not him, but excuse me, isn't she sitting at the table there? And now Jared.
And son-in-law Jared Kushner also.
Jared Kushner, who is, I guarantee you it's going to come out that oligarchs out of Russia, out of Moscow, gave him the money to keep himself suspended with all of the frightening aspects of this dubious deal in New York on 5th.
Oh, absolutely.
To save his family.
They brag about it. They said, "Hey, we don't need this. We can get all the money we need from Russian banks." That is a quote unquote.
Yeah, well, the Russians come with a pay up tag. They always have.
Damn Skippy.
And I mean, the Russians are the ones who gave the money to some of the most filthy terrorists on the block. Hell, they trained, Carlos Emilio Ramirez Sanchez, the guy who was really the jackal. They trained KGB. all of the snipers out of the IRA that got run out of town all work for the KGB to this day.
We only have a couple of minutes left.
That's right. You're right.
Time flies when we're having fun, right?
This has been such a good interview and a good conversation, folks. I hate to say
I've enjoyed it,
Glenn. Always a pleasure, Professor. Go ahead, Glenn.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Tell people where they can find your books and your blog.
Okay, my book is Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, Roman Littlefield Publishers. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and on Amazon and paperback, it's only $12.20. Otherwise, it's $17.95. I'm on the ProgressiveProfessor.com. I write a daily blog for the last 8.5 years, over 5,600 entries I've done. And I have all my articles at History News Network on the side and all other things I've done. including my C-SPAN interview. And I'm also on Facebook under Ronald Fineman, under Progressive Professor and Assassination Threats to the American Presidency, and also on Twitter as Polithist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T.
Great. Thank you so much. We don't have any other time. We look forward to Jack returning next week. And everybody, have a wonderful Father's Day. Peace out there. Peace, man.
Right on. Good night, all.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Thanks so much.
This has been the Sunday Show with our guest, Ronald Fineman, and co-host Wayne Johnson. I'm Gwen Berry. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you for listening.